we doing today, guys? Everybody all right? Huh? Happy 4th of July. Independence Day. Means a lot, doesn't it? Yeah, Independence Day. I seen a sign this last week. I drive around a lot. Seen a sign this last week. It said, if you ate today, thank a farmer. Thank you, Dwayne. Drink milk. Underneath that, it said, if you ate in peace today, thank the soldiers. Yeah. Thank you for all your soldiers. People that fought and done what they had to do for our freedom. Freedom isn't free, is it? No. I got an interesting sermon this morning. It was interesting to me. I guess it's a sermon of one-liners. You ever have one of them? It's a sermon of one-liners. Got a lot of them. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's see what the Lord has for us today. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. We can do nothing without you, Father. We have to allow your Holy Spirit to lead and guide. Give us wisdom and understanding. To apply your word to our lives. Father, we can walk in the life you've given us. We praise you for that. Father, we just ask a special blessing upon the message this morning. Your hand would be with me. You use my voice, my mind, and my heart to show you to these precious saints. And Father, they can apply it to their life and they can love you. Father, you loved us first. You love us so much that you did send your only one precious son to die on the cross to pay the price for each and every one of us. Father, I praise you for that. I thank you. I can never thank you enough. I praise you for that. Father, just be with us this morning. Let us just delve in the glory and the love that you've given us. Father, we can just apply it to our life. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Nice devotion there, Dwayne. Kind of ties right in. One thing, I think anybody that knows me, I'm not an angel in disguise. Right? I think everybody knows that, right? I'm not that nice. Yeah, we're supposed to entertain strangers because we don't know. And in your life, you'll have different things. I had some situations in my life, and I'm sure you could probably say that too. But if you look at the sermon title today, it's kind of a kicker because it's called The Disciplined Use of Time. You guys all have enough time? Everybody have a good time? Enough time? You got enough time to get done? You got 24 hours in one day. I mean, come on, right? If you only work half a day, that's only 12 hours of it. So, I mean, look at the time. What, you sleep 8 hours? Most of us sleep 8 hours, right? We take probably, an hour to take a bath every day, shower, clean. I mean, some of us take a little longer. It doesn't take me long. 10 minutes, I'm done. God gave me a good, clean, simple system. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing to fix. It is what it is. You know what I mean? So, you start adding up all your time. You know, you come up with about 4 hours a day to do whatever you want. You got 4 hours a day to do whatever you want? No, we don't, do we? And I started looking at it like, gosh, when you start adding up the numbers, it's like 80-some days a year you have absolutely nothing to do but what you want to do. 89 days! Anybody got 89 days to do whatever they want? No, it's crazy. Well, I guess, you know, some of us do. Dixie says she does over there. Praise the Lord. See, she's a disciplined. That's a disciplined use of time. You let him do it and you just take it easy. That's good thinking. It's good thinking. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 5. I guess there's a lot of things I want you to see this morning, but it kind of ties in with a lot of different things. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is we have time. You only have so much time in the day, right? And when you run out of time, in 1 Peter 5, I'm going to start there in the middle of verse 5, I think. It says, clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility. And the Amplified says, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you. With freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful. A lot of words for that. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. But he gives grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time may exalt you. Listen to verse 7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Wow. Don't we have an awesome God? Huh? When you read this, it says, now man, how's this tie in with time? What's that have to do with time? Well, if you spend a lot of time worrying, it kind of eats up your day, doesn't it? You guys spend a lot of time worrying? Huh? Were you guys worried you're going to be late for church when you come this morning? Anybody? Some of us were. They're going to even want to go there. You know what I mean? Things happen, right, brother? Things happen. But you know what I mean? When you start thinking about this, I mean, we got all this stuff coming at us. We got bills to pay, right? We've got stuff to do. We've got kids' ball, right? Huh? We got kids' ball, right? And that gets crazy, doesn't it? Huh? We got all this stuff pulling and fighting for our time, right? And it says here, just cast all your cares on God. Doesn't that sound neat? Can't do it though, can you? You can't do it. You're just like me. You're dumb. You can't cast all your cares on, because like, I'm going to pick that up and take care of that, God. And He's like, you idiot. I had it. And you messed it up. Huh? So it says, humble yourself. And interestingly enough, we're going to go back to Psalm 55. You might as well start going there looking, because we're going to look at it. I was trying to think, you know, we have all this stuff coming against us in life. All these things. We got anxiety producers that seem to have either something to do with money or time, right? The clock, or money, right? It just seems like they tie together, don't they? It seems like. You're always fighting the clock. Either you run out of time in the month to get anything done, or you run out of money before the month ends, right? We're all there, right? We all got stuff, right? So, in Psalm 55, this is a psalm that David wrote. It's an interesting psalm. I've talked to different people before about, you know, reading the Psalms, because Psalms is a neat book. If you ever just sat down and read it, Psalms is the kind of book that, I mean, when you're mad at somebody or something or whatever, David was just pouring out his heart. I mean, he just poured out his heart to God. God knows you're mad. He knows you're mad. Huh? He knows you're upset. He knows you're worried. He knows you're anxious. He knows all these things. You might as well talk to Him about it. Huh? You might as well talk to Him about it. And if you're talking to God about it, you won't be talking to anybody else about it. Because I'm telling you what, a lot of problems start when you start telling other people your problems. Huh? You start telling other people your problems, it's almost like, brother, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to tell these other people, because it's not gossip. It's just a prayer need, right? Really? There's a fine line, isn't there? I see. It's a fine line, right? Psalm 55. It's to the chief musician, a stringed instrument musician, a skillful song, a didact. It's instructional. It's an instructional psalm, okay? And I wasn't going to read all of it, but I'm going to hit some of it here because it's kind of interesting. It says, verse 1, listen to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my supplication. That sound starts out pretty good, doesn't it? It says, listen, God, don't hide yourself. Listen to what I got to say. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless and distraught in my complaint and must moan. Doesn't that sound like it? What do you say? He's just a whiner, right? Listen, this is David. He's a king, this guy is. He's a man after old God's own heart, right? He's whining like a baby. Verse 3, I'm distracted at the noise of the enemy because of the oppression and threats, wicked, for they would cast trouble upon me in wrath. They persecute me. You got all these people coming against me. God, come on. Huh? This is David. He's whining. Listen to this. My heart is grievously pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? Huh? It sounds serious. He's getting pretty serious. It says, fear and trembling have come upon me. Horror and fright have overwhelmed me. Wow. Pretty scared. And I say, oh, that it had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. David said, this situation I'm in is so bad, I just like to fly away. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Yeah. Yes, verse 7, yes, I would wander far away, and I would lodge in the wilderness. It says, ah, Selah. Selah, Selah. It says, pause and calmly think of that. It says, I'd just get away and, isn't that cool? You ever try that? You ever try just getting away from everything? It don't work, does it? Because you're there. All that stuff in your head is stuff. You know what I mean? It's still getting you, right? You can't hide from yourself. David said, boy, if I could just get away. Verse 8, I would hasten to escape and find a shelter from the stormy wind and death. I'd just hide, find a place to hide from the storm. Verse 9, destroy their schemes, O Lord. Just cut them down, God. He knows you're thinking it. You might as well say it out loud to him. Confuse their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about on the walls, iniquity and mischief, and they're in the midst. All these people, let's stop, what's this? Violence and ruin within it, fraud and guile. Oh my gosh, it's verse 12. Look at verse 12. For it's not an enemy who approaches and taunts me. Then am I bear it. Nor it is one who has hated me, who instantly vaunts himself against thee, then I might hide from him. But it's you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. Wow. David's being persecuted by friends. Oh, wow. It almost sounds like even God was involved in this a little bit, doesn't it? Verse 14, we had a sweet fellowship together and used to walk to the house of God and come. These are really close friends. They went to church together. Wow. Verse 15. Let desolations and death come upon them. Whoa, David. I'm going to just kill them, God. Take them out and just smack them down. Yeah. Huh? You ever think saying that? I'm just saying, wow. That's pretty tough, isn't it? And you're going down through here. He's just like, get them. Sick them. Get them. Sick them. Sick them, God. Get them. Just tear them up. Beat them down. Mash them up. He's saying. Verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. It says, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of destruction, and the blood and treachery shall not live out half their days. What? But I will trust in, lean on, and confidently rely. You know, David poured out his heart to God. Don't have a problem pouring out your heart to God. If you've got a problem, let God know about it. You know what's cool? He can work on it. Isn't that cool? I said that before, but you guys saying, what's all this have to do with time, man? You're not really making me excited this morning. You guys had donuts, and you're still sitting there like, wow. Huh? Well, let's keep going. We're talking about time. If we're going to be like Jesus, we must make the most of our spiritual discipline time. You guys play sports. Some of you play sports, right? You just lay around all the time and do absolutely nothing. And then when it's time to play the sport, you get up and do your thing. Is that how it works? You're going to run a marathon? If you're going to run a marathon, do you just get up one morning and think, I think I could do 20 miles? Huh? Is that the way we do? I was listening to a lady, she's on the radio. She's 46 years old. She's actually going to the Olympics. She's actually in the Olympics right now. Does bike riding. She's 46 years old. And she's competing in a time trial, bicycles. And what was interesting to me, she really had a good testimony for the Lord. But what was interesting to me, the discipline that's involved in doing that. Huh? There's discipline involved. If you want to be a good runner, you don't just get up and say, I think I'll run 5 miles today. Huh? To run 5 miles, you got to keep doing it, don't you? You got to continually run, right? To play sports, you got to continue practice, right? Me and Brenda had an interesting conversation, in Sunday school. She's a very smart, intelligent young woman, actually. Really is. And we had an interesting conversation. We were talking about things like that. And I told her, I said, you know, if you could live to be 100 years old and never get old, live to be 100, and you could play baseball every day for 100 years, I think you'd get pretty good at it. I think you would, wouldn't you? I mean, I would think. What if you could live 500 years, never get old, play baseball every day? You think you'd get good at it? I mean, even if you were a mediocre baseball player, you'd be pretty good at it, right? Because you'd know the ins and outs of that game, upside down, inside out, the whole deal, right? You'd be pretty good at it. Satan's been around a long time. He's not a very intelligent guy. He uses the same things over and over and over and over and over again. But he's been around a long time. He's been plying his trade a long time. He knows just exactly what it's going to take to distract you in your spiritual walk with God. He knows just exactly what's going to work for you. He just knows, because he's been studying human beings for thousands of years. He knows your ins and outs, right? Sounds pretty daunting, right? That's the thing with discipline. If you want to discipline, if you want to run a marathon, you have to. You got to eat right, right? You got to sleep right, right? You got to exercise right, right? I mean, you got to do all the stuff. And even then, sometimes people get hurt doing that, but they're trying to do it with a trainer and all stuff. You got to be disciplined to do it. If you want to know God more, how do you know God more? Just go through life. It'll be all right. Huh? Do you talk to him at all? Do you listen to what he has to say at all? Do you get up in the morning and think, I just can't wait to get that Bible out and just read? Huh? Does it make you excited to get up and read your Bible in the morning? Or you think, I'm going to hit that snooze button just one more time. Oh, I got to go to work. I got to go. You know how we do. If something's important to you, those 4 hours a day become very manageable, usable things. If something is important for you to do, you'll find time to do it, won't you? Huh? You will. If you're going to work out, feeling good, start pumping iron, working out, looking good, do you find time to do that? We do, right? We find time. It's the same thing with getting to know God. You've got to take time to do it. And there has to be a certain amount of discipline involved. I told you this before. Discipline without a goal is drudgery. It's drudgery. If you're going to run a marathon, why would you get up and run 20 miles every day to get in shape for that? Why would you? You'd get old. You don't have a goal. There's no reason to. It's stupid. I'm just going to sleep. Huh? Right? Isn't that what we do? That's what you do. But if you're going to do something, you got a goal in mind. What is our goal? Our spiritual walk with God. What is our goal? To know Him more, right? Just know Him a little bit more. He loves you. He loves you so much. He can't stand it. We've been talking about that book, Purpose Driven Life. It says, God smiles when He sees you. He knew when you were born. He was there when you were born. He's like, yes, my child. Can you imagine how proud He is of you? Can you imagine how much He wants from you? He wants something from you. And if you ain't got nothing to give Him, what's He got to use? I'm going to tell you. You got to give God something. You got to give Him something. Even if it's 5 minutes a day starting to read, you got to give Him something. God can do so much with so little. He can do so much with so little. But you got to give Him something. Huh? If someone comes and asks you a question, I notice you're a little bit different than everybody else. Could be a good different, bad different, I don't know. At least in my case, it's a bad different. You're just different. And they look at you like, you're just different. Huh? Yeah, they give you that look like, you're just different. Huh? Yeah. But they ask you a question, why are you different? What are you going to tell them? I work out. Really? Huh? So I got God in my life, man. Isn't that cool? And they'll look at you like, he really is different. He really is different. Yeah, he really is different. Yeah, he is, huh? Someone asks you a question, what are you going to tell them? I told Les there this morning, see it on a sign. I drive around and see signs. It's kind of cool. says, be good to know God before you have to meet Him. Yeah. Because you know there's so many people out there that don't know Him. And you might be the one that God has called to maybe minister to that person. I don't know. Maybe it's just in your walk. Maybe it's just what you do. We're going to keep moving because I want to touch on this word. Interestingly enough, Dwayne brought up our walk. In John 17:4, we're not going to look at that, but Jesus tells His Father that I have completed the work that You have given Me to do. What work has God given you to do? Do you even know? Are you using your talents, whatever that talent might be, for God? Are you excited that God's going to give you an opportunity to use that talent today? Are you like, nope, I'm just happy, just grateful, yep, over here, yep, I'm not even here, la 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 la, are you happy doing that? God has a plan for your life, each and every one of you. Are we walking according to His plan? Some days I don't know. I'll be honest with you, some days I'm like, God, what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? What are we doing? And He's like, you just hold on a little bit longer. Hold on a little bit longer. Okay. I will. Because you know what? I can talk to Him about it. I can cast those cares upon Him. Even though it's hard. Even though it hurts. Even though it makes you cry. And it breaks your heart. God's still working. God's still there. I can trust Him in that. He's trustworthy. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. One-liners, huh? Okay. Dwayne brought up about walking with God. You feel like you walk with God every day? Some days more than others, probably. It's an honest statement. You know, I'm just asking. I'm not. Nobody raise your hands. I'm not going to make you. You know, I'm just saying myself. Some days it feels like I walk closer to God than other days. You know what I'm saying? Some days I do. And that's just me. I know He hasn't changed any. It's just me. You know what I'm saying? Maybe things are starting to bog me down a little bit. Maybe I got too much on my mind. Maybe I'm thinking too much. Sometimes you cut your head off, you probably sleep really good at night, wouldn't you? That thing won't quit. It's like it won't stop. It just... You know what I mean? What's neat? And I started looking at the Word. I started reading the Bible. I started looking at this. It's just like God's just like, yeah, give me something. Yeah, come on. I can't wait to get there to see what's He got today. What's He got today? Yes! For me! Isn't that great? You ever feel that way? Tell you what, when you start spending time with God, it's like being married. You spend time with your spouse, right? You guys talk, enjoy each other's company, and you actually get kind of used to that, right? And you kind of look forward to that, right? Talking to somebody, and that they care that what you have to say is important to what your life, right? It's no different with God. Because the neat thing about God is He actually listens. And the neat thing about Him is, He can actually deal with your problem. Isn't that cool? Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 15. Wow. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. The word for walk is an excellent metaphor for our life, right? I mean, you think about it. Walking is continuous, right? If I go... walking? No, I'm standing still. What's the matter? You're an idiot. You're standing still. To walk means, okay, I'm walking, right? Right? I'm walking, right? To walk, if I walk, I got one foot. I have to kind of depend on that foot, don't I? I gotta rely on that foot to go the next step, right? And why am I walking? Because there's a donut over there. Right? Why are you walking? What's your goal in walking? Because there's a donut over there with some milk, and I'm going to give me one. In that way, you got a goal for walking, right? It's the same thing with our walk and our life with God. We have to have a goal, right? Have to have a goal. Look at this. And you walk because you're going somewhere. So what's your walk with God? Are you just... That's not walking. It's just, no. It's going. It's a pig leg guy going around in circles. That's all that is. If you're going to walk with God, you've got to have a destination in mind. See, you know, I want to know Him more. I want to know a little bit more about Him. I want to be able to trust Him just a little bit. I want to be able to just be with Him a little bit more. Huh? That's your walk, right? We had a goal. We want to know Him better. He said, you know what? I spent a couple thousand years, 1,500 years, and I put this whole letter together just for you to read. Because I loved you so much, I put this whole thing together so you could read it and enjoy your time in it. And then we can talk about it, and you can look and say, whoa, that blows my mind. How does God do that? He just blows my mind. Huh? So look carefully how you walk. Live purposefully. That's a big word. And worthily and accurately, Amplified says. Not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible people. Do you think you're really wise? You know I don't think I am. I'm probably one of the simplest men you'll ever meet. I don't feel like I'm very wise. I do things, and it's like the Lord just leads me in a direction, and it makes me look really intelligent, and I'm like, praise the Lord, and I give Him the glory. I give Him the glory for that. I really do. I do. It's like, so what's He mean here by living wise? I'll read this to you. Believers are commanded to live wisely. Wise living is described in three different ways. It makes good use of the time. Now, you ever get home and just go out and sit on your porch? Pretty nice, isn't it? Quiet. Usually it's dark because it's late. But it's just, you know, just take a minute to just, and I see the lightning bugs out there and I think, man, Father, that's pretty awesome. You made them little bugs light up. That's pretty cool, isn't it? It's really calming, isn't it? I don't think there's a thing wrong with that. I think there's more time for that than you really realize. I think God gives you that time. You can just kind of take a minute, take a deep breath, and just thank Him for the day. Man, I made it through the day. You know what I mean? Because sometimes it's a close call. Sometimes, like, man, I get out of bed and I'm like, I'm just tired. I'm tired. I don't want to go to work today because I'm tired. I'm tired. Huh? Right? You know what we do? Because we're tired. And we go to work and we work and do our thing, and we have to thank the Lord for giving us strength for doing that day, right? So live wisely. We got to manage our time. Verse 16 says, making the most of the time. Amplified says, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Now, maybe your Bible says redeeming the time. Maybe. Redeeming the time, the word for redeeming is means to rescue from loss. Okay? And it's used as a strengthened form to buy. To buy out. To buy. To buy. Especially of being a slave for his freedom. It means you're going to pay a price. Do we know anybody that paid a price for our freedom? We know we got a Savior that did. You go to the cemetery and walk around, you see a lot of soldiers in there who gave the ultimate sacrifice for you and I's freedom. Yeah. You know anybody? Yeah. So we're supposed to redeem the time. And the interesting part of this, and I want to read you this. You don't have to go there. It's just one book over, Galatians 3. Galatians 3:13 says, the Lord Jesus Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us. What? From the curse of the law and its condemnation by Himself becoming a curse for us. Do you understand the same word he's using here to redeem the time? It is going to cost you something. Okay? You can't just say, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to study 15 minutes every morning before I go to work. Now I'm going to do, I'm going to be half an hour guy. You know what that means? You got to set the alarm clock a half an hour sooner. You know what that means? You got to pay a price for that. Huh? You have got to pay a price. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from sin. He paid a price for you and I. For you to redeem your time, you have to pay a price. Something has to give. But I like watching Gunsmoke on TV. It's a good show. It's clean. It's a good show. Only a couple of people die in it, but it's a good show, right? It's clean, right? Huh? See, we can rationalize this all we want. But you think, you know that hour I sit watching Gunsmoke because I like it? I could be studying. But it's not as fun, man. I can just sit there and watch Gunsmoke and say, oh yeah, that's cool. Look at that. Huh? And all those neat commercials where they sell stuff. And wait, you get two. Right? Huh? For you to redeem the time you have, it's going to cost you something. Might be sleep. Might be watching more Gunsmoke commercials. I don't know. I'm just saying. It might be something you have to give up. But when he says redeeming the time, he says because the days are evil. Wow. Now, when this was written, it was written a long time ago. The days are pretty evil then, right? Think they've gotten better? No. Time, it's gotten worse, hasn't it? Time's terrible. Just watch the news. I don't watch the news anymore. It's just depressing. It's depressing. What people do to other people. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Well, what's the will of the Lord? You ever think about that? What's the will of the Lord? You ever ask Him, what's your will in this, Father? You ever go to God and say, I've got this big decision right here. God, I want you to give me an answer to this big decision. Because it's a big one. This is life-changing, life-altering, big one. Okay? A big one. But then if we think, I think I'm going to go get me a donut. Well, maybe God don't want me to eat a donut. Maybe I should ask Him if I should eat the donut. Is it that trivial to you? Sometimes that's how trivial I am. It's like, God, should I do that or not? And you know what's interesting? The more you talk to Him, the more you'll think, I'll leave that alone. I think I'll leave that alone. Or no, I think I'll go do that. You know what I'm saying? I think I will. Huh? I will. So, to know God's will, we need to look at things from God's perspective. I ain't smart enough to do that. Not even close. But when I look at a situation in my life, I ask God, what's the deal here? What's going on here? Am I supposed to learn something from this? Am I supposed to do anything in this? Am I supposed to just sit back and say, you know what? Okay, God, you said you're going to take care of this. I'm going to just let you deal with it. I'll let you deal with it. You know what I mean? Put my hands behind my back. I can't touch it. You're going to deal with it. Is that the way we do? Huh? Sometimes we rationalize with God to the point where, you're not doing anything. I'm going to do something because you won't. And God's like, yeah, go ahead. Bring it on. Yeah, I can deal with that too. Huh? Isn't that cool? It's so neat to be able to talk to somebody and not have to worry about, they're going to hold that against me. Why ain't you doing something? He's like, hello, I'm God. I'm God here. I can do whatever I want to do here. I'm God. You know what I'm saying? I can do all this. But I choose not to because this is going to have to be something you're going to have to learn. I choose not to change the situation because you're going to have to pick up something here. I choose not to do something here because you're not quite ready for my answer. Wow. Ever been there? If you've ever done any Bible study much, when you start reading the Bible, studying, when you get into the Bible and start looking at it, you'll read a verse. Oh, that's pretty cool. A year later, it's like, whoa, dude, that's amazing. You weren't ready for it last year. You couldn't have assimilated. You couldn't have applied it to your life. It just wasn't for you that time. That's the neat thing about the Bible. It's alive. Hebrews 4:12 says it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This thing, living, breathing thing. God's Word. Wow. So when I pick this thing up, I expect to see something. When I pick this Bible up, I expect to get something out of it. I don't just sit and... huh? No. I'm expecting to get something out of it. Verse 18, what's this say here? Do not get drunk with wine. Wow. For that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Neat thing about this is, you know, I work around a lot of guys that enjoy not the occasional beverage, but the nightly 24-pack, okay? And they just love it. Huh? They enjoy it. It's a high that they really enjoy. I got drunk last night. They think it's a fun, right? I can say, you know what? I got filled by the Holy Spirit. My high is still working, brother. You're going, ooh, huh? How stupid can you be? And you paid for that. What an idiot. The high the Holy Spirit gives lasts and lasts and lasts. Isn't that cool? I have to worry about using something. I got the Holy Spirit. Now, I wonder how much of the Holy Spirit I really have. Ever wonder about that? Ever think about that? We get saved. It says when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us and dwells and lives a home in us. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Are you allowing Him to lead you? See, when you get drunk, the alcohol is leading you, right? People are just stupid, ain't they? You ever been around any drunk people? You guys probably have your own church people, but I've been around a lot of drunk people in my life. I mean, they're just stupid, right? They ain't got a clue what they're saying or doing or nothing. Alcohol is their influence. When the Holy Spirit is your influence, then you got to allow Him to lead you. You got to allow Him to take you places that, I don't want to go there. But He's like, oh, yes, you do. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to come to know Me more. That's how your faith is going to get stronger. Huh? Because you're doing things you don't want to do. You know what? My time on earth is short, isn't it? It wouldn't be such a big deal if we didn't have an expiration date, right? It wouldn't be such a big deal. Time goes on and on. No, I'm one breath. You're one breath away from eternity. Wow. And you know, God has a job for you to do. He has something that He wants you to do. God is not just going to... He's not just sitting back and saying, you know what? They're living a good life. I'll just leave them alone. No. He wants you to do something exciting for Him. And He wants you to know that He was involved in it. Isn't that cool? Huh? That is cool. And that's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Run out of time. There's a law of priorities I talked about. You know, if you're going, you have so many hours in a day, right? You only got so many. Let me tell you a little something else. You only got so many days in your life. Don't know when. It's a good thing we don't, right? We don't know how many days we have on this earth to spend doing walking in God's will. We don't know. So, if you're going to prioritize, we have to analyze our lifestyle, right? What am I doing? I want to run a marathon. I'm old and that's stupid, but I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to do it. So I'm going to have to chisel out, set out, fence in a block of time for me to train for that, right? I have a priority. Running a marathon is my priority, and I don't want to die while I'm running it, so I want to get in shape for that, right? Okay? So I have to set aside time because it's a priority for me, right? That's what I want to do. It's my life thing, right? You know, getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ, getting to know God better, should be a top priority for you. It should be a priority that I can set. I want to set this time aside. And you know what? There's going to be things coming against you that time ain't going to work out. Maybe something will change. I don't know. But you have to be able to be flexible to set that time aside. You got to set that as a priority. Then you got to utilize the present time. Okay? I can't look back no more. Huh? You guys ever look back at what you should have done? Am I the only one that 10 minutes later I think, I should have said that. I should have done that. I'm that guy. You know what I mean? If you say something to me, 10 minutes later, I have a really good comeback. I do. I mean, I really do. I have a good comeback 10 minutes later. You know what I'm saying? I do. So I can't look at what I've not done. I can look at my present. This is where I'm at. This is where I am. And I can look to my future because He's in it. And I can prioritize my life. I have to prioritize time. You have to spend time with God. I cannot tell you enough. You have to spend time with God. And you know what, when you do, you'll end up spending all day with Him. You'll say, "Thank you, Lord, for changing that light. I made it through. Praise the Lord." Isn't that dumb? But no, He was there. He had to be. The light seemed greener than it should have. And I went right through. Praise the Lord, right? It's that simple. I have to give Him... it just happened, Matt. Come on, it just happened. I'll have to give Him all the praise and all the glory for it. I cannot dwell on my past. The years that I have lost not doing. You can't. You can't either. You can't dwell on your past. You have got to look at the present, and we're going to walk. Because why are we walking? We got a goal. We got a donut over there. My name on it. It's glazed. It's nice and soft. Might even be cream filled. Never know. Huh? You see what I'm saying? You got a goal. If you want to have a goal, I want to know God more. I want to know Him more. Huh? Start walking in that direction. Let's just take little steps at a time. We're going to start to know Him a little more. We want to look at the Word. We want to talk to Him. We want to talk to Him in prayer. We want to spend the day with Him. We want to enjoy His company. And when He says, "You know what? You ought to go talk to that person." You know how much easier it'll be if you're spending time with Him? You'll be talking to that person before you even realize you did it. Isn't that cool? That's God working in your life. Prioritizing your time. I'm probably the worst one to talk about this that there is. I'm telling you, but you have to be able to set time aside to allow God to speak to you, and you got to set time aside to talk to Him. And when you pray, don't just sit down and say, "I want this and 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 oh yeah, and that too. I want that too." Right? When you pray, it's okay to talk to God, but you have to realize first and foremost when you go to God, say, "You are God. You are holy. You created me. You are God. You're so awesome. You are awesome." And talk to Him. But wait. Take a few minutes to just sit in silence and wait. And see what maybe He has to say to you. Never had Him speak to me audibly, you know, like in my ear. But I've had the impression that He's talking to me. And He's given me wisdom on something I should do or something I should not do. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to call it quits, guys. Sorry. If you get anything out of this message today, anything at all, we're going to walk in the direction of God. We're going to walk in the direction of knowing Him more. We're not going to worry about our past. We're not going to worry about what we didn't do yesterday, or what we didn't do 10 years ago, or what we didn't do, whatever. That's in the past. I can't change the past. That time has already been spent, done, and gone. The only thing I can look at is I got the rest of today. Isn't that cool? And then I got, if the Lord allows me to have the rest of the day, right? And then I got this week coming that maybe I can, you know, I think I'm going to try and set a, if, you know, I'm going to set a little time aside. Maybe while I'm out running, I'm just going to wear some earbuds or something, and I'm going to listen to the Bible on CD or my phone. Just listen to it. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Or maybe I'll just listen to a preacher on my earbuds while I'm running or whatever I'm doing. Maybe I'll just do that. You can incorporate so many things into your life that God's in the midst of it. You cannot believe it. I drive my truck. I listen to the Bible on CD. You can listen to the Bible all the way through 6-8 times a year. I mean, it's incredible. You can't read the Bible through in a year. You can't find time to do that, right? I can listen to it 6 or 7, 8 times a year. Just listen to it. That's all I'm doing. I'm incorporating Him into my life. And I want Him to be a big part of it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your throne. Gosh, Father. I'm so pathetic when it comes to talking. I just have to rely totally on You to give the words that are spoken right, said right. Your Holy Spirit just working through me. I just step aside, Father, and try to let You be there. And give You all the glory. It has nothing to do with me. It's all You. You are God, and You're able to work in this old body. You're able to work in this old mind, in this whole mouth, in this whole heart. Father, I can just praise You. That's what I want, Father. I just want to praise You. I want to just give You all the glory because You are so worthy of it. Father, I just pray that we can apply the word that's spoken today to our lives, to our hearts, to our children's lives, to our grandchildren's lives, to the next generations coming up, that they can see, Father, that we walked with You. Father, I just thank You. I praise You. Father, we just pray as we come to the next part of the service. We're going to ask, Father, for prayer for anything that's going on in this church and people's lives. Father, I just ask Your Holy Spirit would just move people to come forward if they need prayer. Father, because it's not us, it's You. We just want to take it before Your throne. We want to give it to You. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, You're working on it. Father, we praise You and we thank You. In Your precious name we pray. Yeah. Praise team, come forward. As the elders come forward, got a little song to sing here. It's kind of a neat song. It's called the Revelation Song. Just gives glory to God. You know what I'm saying? And the elders are up here. This is your time. This is the time we ask if you need prayer for anything, anything at all. Come forward because these men, they won't gossip about your problem. They're going to take it to the Lord in prayer. So this is a song. Let's just praise the Lord this morning.